So this is Fit as a Fiddle Plus, and I am Kathy Binner. I'm a passive income coach, and I have with me tonight Rita Brewer. Now, Rita is normally my co-mod, my co-host on this particular podcast, but tonight we're actually interviewing Rita because she has such great stuff going on, and I have wanted to delve a little deeper into what she is into. And we've had such great folks coming on board and interviewing with us that we just kept saying that we're going to do that one of these days. We're gonna get Rita in the hot seat. So tonight is the night. So she is in the hot seat tonight. Now, what I know about her is from the time she was a young girl, she knew that she wanted to have a career in medicine. And she started her education with a bachelor's degree in biology from the State University of New York in Geneseo, followed by her physician assistant degree from Cornell University Medical College. So from there, I'm going to actually turn it over to Rita and tell us your backstory, because I kind of started, as you know, you were getting your bachelor degree, but you said that you wanted to be in medicine since you were a young girl. So what was that backstory that made you want to be in medicine?
Well, I mean, I knew I wanted a career in medicine from the time I was in elementary school. So I think it just came from just always being a caregiver and really wanting to always make people feel better and then wanting to study the science behind everything. I did an autobiography when I was in fifth grade, and it said that I said that I wanted to be a nurse because I thought that was the only way that a woman could, you know, work in the medical field. And of course, later on, I realized that that wasn't the case. We had a lot more opportunities. So I got my bachelor's degree in biology, went straight to PA school from there. And I think my passion for what I do now is I'm really focused on type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, preventing both of those conditions for people who have family history of it. And helping people who are struggling with weight loss, I'll get to that part later, but you asked me about the backstory. You asked me about the backstory. Sorry, I'm turning my phone off. When I started PA school, I absolutely loved it. I just loved studying the human body, human anatomy and physiology. And my very first PA job out of school was working in a vascular surgery practice and thoracic surgery as well. So thoracic is all the chest cavity, except for the heart. That's a separate specialty, cardiovascular. In the vascular surgery side, we took care of so many diabetic patients. I had no idea that I would end up being a health coach, 30 years later, but it was so imprinted in my heart because of the suffering that these patients dealt with. Diabetes is the number one chronic disease in America. It's the number one cause of heart disease, of strokes, of blindness, amputations, infertility, dementia. I mean, it affects so many different things. And I realized about 20 plus years later as a PA that it's preventable and it's reversible. And so many people are suffering, millions of people, 37 million people, just America alone have diabetes. And even more than that, about 96 million people are pre-diabetic. And that's just America. This is a worldwide epidemic, pandemic. So that's just the stats for our United States. But we did these procedures for the diabetic patients because I saw, as a surgical PA, I saw everybody at the end stage of diabetes with the worst of the worst complications. So it's the number one cause of kidney failure. So patients who are on dialysis, their kidneys no longer work because they can't get enough blood flow because of the diabetes damage to the blood arteries that affect the kidneys. And so we would have to create what it's called an arterial venous fistula. It's like a bypass we do on their arm so they can have dialysis three times a week with their blood. So we would do these, and then I would have to make rounds and see them on the dialysis machines. And there's just the one most memorable patient. This was over 30 years, and I could still see her face. It just stood out to me. It was so heart-wrenching. It was my very first job as a PA, and I was in my 20s. And I went to see her, you know, this dialysis patient, to make rounds because to check on the surgery that we had done. But she's also blind from diabetes. Oh. And she also was a double above knee amputee from diabetes damage as well, because her blood vessels got so brittle and the circulation was not flowing, you know, to the lower extremities. So people start with these non-healing ulcers. They can't get it to heal because the blood and the oxygen are what heals it. But that blood and oxygen is blocked when you have these damaged vessels from diabetes. So they were not able to heal the wounds. So eventually we would do these bypass procedures, rerouting the blood flow to try to get the blood down there so it could heal. And many times it was successful, but diabetes is a progressively worsening condition if you don't fix it. So that's what really made me think about, this is the population of people that I really, really want to help, because it's enormous and the damage is horrible. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it's completely preventable and reversible. So that's really where I got my passion to want to work specifically, you know, with diabetic patients.
Wow, that is an amazing backstory. And of course, you're in your 20s then when you're seeing these folks in this condition. Mm-hmm. And so you don't even have really the life experiences to say, oh my gosh, how did they get here?
Right.
So as you go through, you know, learning more about medicine and finding your niche and finding your way, you're starting to put it all together that this could be totally preventable. Mm-hmm. Now, what made you decide to go with a more holistic approach with what you're doing? And because, you know, you started off, you know, with all the big boys, what made you decide to turn slightly toward the more holistic way?
Yeah. Well, you know, the conventional teaching is just like, well, this is just what it is, you know, that we couldn't control their diabetes with the medications that we gave them and the disease just progresses. And that's just what we expect. And we just do the best we can. And I was like, wow, you know, like you said, a 20-year-old something. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that's all we can do for these people. It's so horrible, you know? And I spent 20 years in medicine and surgical specialties with that mindset, not knowing. But when I decided to make the big life move from New York State down to North Carolina, and I was praying for a job opportunity, my daughter was only four years old at the time. And I was like, I really need a good job that's going to have good mommy hours. And, you know, what can I do? So I found this job that was actually working at a weight loss clinic, which was something I had never done before. But I knew I still had baby weight I was carrying that I couldn't get off. I was like, worst comes to worst, at least I'll figure out how to lose this baby weight. It was a weight loss medical clinic. So I got in there and I just started working there and I started learning. You know, the nutrition coaches were teaching me about food as medicine, and it sparked my interest. It's like it lit a fire in me, and I was like, I couldn't get enough. I just wanted to learn and learn and learn. I can't even tell you how many books I read, you know, in those first few years, especially. And of course, I continue to read and learn every day. But what I saw was that not only were people coming, they were coming with most of them, their goal was just for weight loss. But I didn't realize that when that weight came down, they started to get healthier and healthier. Their blood pressure came down. Their cholesterol came down. Their diabetes was improving. The medications that they required was getting better and better. And I was like, oh, that was a truly aha moment for me, because I was like, oh my gosh. Well, first I was excited, like, oh my gosh, we can fix all this. And then I got angry. I was like, why aren't we doing this? You know, we should be doing this in every primary care office, you know, in the world. Like, this should be the number one thing. And so it just was so rewarding, you know, to see people get so much better. Their pain got better. Their joints weren't hurting as much. They had more energy. They slept better. The brain fog was lifted. They had great cognitive function. So it's like all these things were getting better and better and way better than taking any, you know, prescription drugs. Because I mean, nowadays you ask any medical practitioner that who sees patients that come into their office, their patients, even in their 40s and 50s, may have a list of prescription mm-hmm. drugs of a dozen long and some even more that they take on a daily basis, which is crazy because it doesn't have to be that way. So that was when it all changed. So I was okay, so 20 years in.
Yeah. So now you're actually working in this. Oh, was it a clinic? Yes. Yes. And it was for a weight loss yeah. clinic. And so what was their protocol? What did they take their patients through? What program, describe that affected all of these other health issues that these folks were having? And what was that became your aha moment?
Well, the program itself was, you know, it was a nationwide franchise of medically supervised weight loss clinics. So it was a very low calorie ketogenic diet, which is very low sugar. And we also prescribed prescription appetite suppressants for those patients who wanted it and if they medically qualified for it. So it was a very aggressive weight loss program. So, you know, that's good and bad. It's great for people who want the quick fix, but it's not a long-term sustainable plan. So I learned a lot, you know, and helped a lot of people in that period of time. But eventually I had to move away from that because I realized that this is not a sustainable lifestyle that people can maintain. So I want to help them to be able to do that because so many people would lose, but then they come back and they've gained and, you know, nobody wants that. So that's when I moved away from it.
So when they stopped the program, not all, I'm sure, but many then started gaining the weight back, which then their health issues started coming back again. They went right back to maybe where they were before. Mm-hmm. And so was there, and was that kind of another aha for you when you realized that there needed to be some kind of an ongoing coaching yeah. or some sort of a program to keep yeah. these folks motivated
yeah.
to stay on a yeah. better diet?
Exactly. Because I mean, when you live a healthy lifestyle and you're choosing the right foods that work for your metabolism, you don't have to count calories. And that's what I love. It's like, who wants to count calories? It's
right.
Pain in the butt. Anybody who's ever done it knows that's mm-hmm. it's a big pain in the butt. So, and it's not required, you know, to be healthy, but yeah.
Well, and how can you, I mean, you know, you go out right. to dinner at a restaurant and I mean, unless you're going to carry around your little scales and, you know, and your little measuring cup, how, you know,
yeah.
guessing, you yeah. know.
Well, we teach people, you know, in the beginning, it's great to measure so you can get a sense of what is 4 ounces of meat look like, or, you know, what is a one cup serving of vegetables or look like. Mm-hmm. But so once you've done it for a while, then you can start to eyeball things and you don't have to bring that equipment to a restaurant. But yeah, it definitely is not the very restrictive plan of very low calorie to, you know, is not a sustainable model. So, yeah.
So once you decided that you wanted to move away from that, where did you go from there?
Well, it took me a while, actually, because, you know, as a PA, a physician assistant, conventionally medical trained, there was no place for me because I didn't want to go back into any of the conventional medical models, you know, primary care, family medicine, you know, and it's just bang, 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 like one patient after another, doling out prescriptions, and that's all you do. And you don't have time to do any of this type of coaching. And it's not supported in most, conventional practices. Now, it is starting to get more and more. It's opening up a lot of doors, but we still have a long way to go for that. So I actually stayed working at that clinic for about 6 years because I was just like, well, I just can't go back to doing anything else. Like, what can I do? And I actually found that there was, an American College of Lifestyle Medicine. And so I found that and I went to one of their conferences and then it was all about healthy lifestyles and, you know, doing the work with, you know, healthy, you know, what the 6 pillars of lifestyle medicine for these patients and using creating this healthy lifestyle as the number one treatment plan, you know, and, you know, of course there's a role for medications when needed, but we want that to be the last choice, not the first choice, right?
Right.
So I met this whole community and I realized like there's thousands of people, other practitioners like myself around the country and around the world who have this feeling like I do. So yeah, I got board certified in lifestyle medicine and I started practicing and I do some of that now as well in a lifestyle medicine clinic in addition to my coaching. So yeah, I mean, it's so much more rewarding, you know, because I want to help people get off of their drugs, not add more to them every time they walk in the door.
Well, and because every time you get a new prescription, it comes with side effects, which sometimes require another prescription to help offset the side effects. And where does that end? And I get that.
Right.
Exactly. And so, so now how does one find a lifestyle medicine clinic? I mean, is it hard to find if one wants to kind of go that direction with our,
there's
thinking
a lot
about our listeners listening in?
Yeah, there is, there's a American College of Lifestyle Medicine. You could look on their website and they have practitioners there as well. But there are also, if you look for a metabolic health practitioner, they're going to have a great focus on weight loss and diabetes reversal also. What else? Functional medicine is what also. So functional medicine, it incorporates all of the pillars of lifestyle medicine. Those six pillars are nutrition, physical activity, stress reduction, getting good sleep quality, reducing toxins, and building communities.
Wow.
Those are the six pillars of a healthy lifestyle. And then functional medicine goes even deeper into that, really like root cause medicine to find, you know, the biochemistry. It's like the medical detective work of where the imbalances are coming from when those lifestyle interventions are not enough. So, yeah.
Such interesting information and so important. Your message is so important. When you look at the overall medical industry, what makes you mad about the industry when you just look at it at large?
Yeah, it's just so pharmaceutical driven. You know, the pharmaceutical industry is so rich and powerful, and they really have so much influence over our healthcare system. And even you see it just what I hate when I see commercials for for drugs like that. Nobody else in any other part of the world does that except in the United States allows that.
And they're like, ask your physician for this prescription.
Yeah. Oh, they do. They absolutely will. But, you know, it's just driven by that. Everything is driven by the drugs and the protocols. You know, you have a protocol for this, this, and that, and this is the drug that goes with this. This is the drug that goes with that. And lifestyle changes are not even a thought process. They're not taught. They're not taught in medical schools. You know, and I have to say for all the medical practitioners out there, go easy on them because it's not really their fault because they weren't trained. They weren't trained in nutrition. They weren't trained in lifestyle medicine. There are programs now, medical schools that are starting to implement lifestyle medicine as coursework for their medical students and residency programs. But there's still very few around the United States. So it's going to be a while before the change happens. But the more I've been in this outer circle now of holistic medical practitioners, I see how big it is. We're growing and growing and growing. And that's really exciting. And people are just going outside the medical model because we can't fight the system. You know, it's just too much. They're very powerful. Thank God there are some, you know, big doctors like Dr. Mark Hyman and Dean Ornish, and they're like trying to involve with, you know, the government and trying to get in there on lobbying floor with food industries and, you know, the big agriculture and food, you know, companies out there who control everything. That's the thing that I hate. They shouldn't be involved at all.
And speaking of food, oh my gosh, with our society today, how do you even get healthy food? I went to the grocery store here a few weeks back and I was, you know, I had my cart and I'm shopping around the outside, you know, getting the fruits and vegetables and, you know, the fresh stuff. Mm-hmm. And I saw a little gal, she was spraying all of the vegetables and they looked beautiful. They were nice and shiny. And I said, what are you spraying on the vegetables? And she said, I don't know. They just told me to come out and spray all of the vegetables. And I said, okay. Well, she put the bottle down. She had a little cart there and she put the bottle down and walked away. And so, you know, I just kind of,
yeah.
There was no label on that bottle anywhere. Mm-mm. It was a just a spray, like you would put cleaning stuff in. It was just a spray bottle. Mm. And, you know, I came from the cosmetology industry and we would use them, you know, to put water in and you could spritz somebody's hair, yeah. or we could put alcohol in it and we could use it to disinfect or whatever. But there was no label on that bottle. It was just a bottle that you could buy from Walmart or Sam's Club, just an empty spray bottle. And I had no idea what was in it. And she had sprayed all of the vegetables. They looked beautiful. So then I picked up some vegetables and they were oily. So it was some sort of an oil, probably some sort of a vegetable oil or something to make them look very good so that people would buy the vegetables. Mm. But that really bothered me that day because I was like, how many people really, first of all, you don't even know where the vegetable really came from. It's now at your supermarket. And then how many folks, once they get it home, really wash those vegetables, those fruits and vegetables before they process them and feed them to their families? Yeah. And so talk about that just a bit. Is there some way that we can be better consumers?
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing is working on getting out of the grocery stores and going direct to your local farmers or farmers markets, and always look for, especially when it comes to produce, looking for organic options. Mm-hmm. You know, the farther your food has to travel, the more they will get sprayed in the trucks with preservatives in order to take them those long distances and still be, you know, appealing on the shelves. So definitely buy from your local farmers markets, ask if they're organic, if they, you know, what they spray pesticides or not. And there's a website I have on my webpage. It's that you can look for farmers in your area by your zip code. You can punch it in. And you can find local farmers with all different products from, you know, meat farmers, pork farmers, chicken and produce and milk and all kinds of things. So eatwild.com is one.
Okay.
And then localharvest.com is another one. And preferably find, when you're looking for your meat products, preferably get your regenerative farmers, which means that they're taking really good care of the soil. The soil quality is everything for nutrient density in our food. But the problem is with all the monocropping that we do all over the country for corn and soy, these, you know, this high fructose corn syrup that they put in everything, they just basically just level out all the lands and the soil becomes dead. It's just, there's no nutrients left. And even now for us, even when we're getting organic produce, it's still nowhere near as full of vitamins and minerals as it used to be, you know, 50 years ago. Because it's so depleted. So we definitely want to go for organic. The regenerative farmers are taking really good care of the soil. They don't till it. They allow the animals to all roam freely on the land as God designed them to. So they're fertilizing the soil. They eat the grass, they defecate on the grass, they walk in it, and that the manure gets massaged into the soil. And it makes the most nutrient rich soil that there is. So anybody who wants to learn more about regenerative agriculture, you want to look up Joel Salatin. He's kind of like been in this industry for many, many years. He's got his farm in Pennsylvania. So you could learn a lot from him. But yeah, and you could even have your, you know, meats delivered from some of these local farms as well. So you want them to be grass fed and grass finished. And they do have some of those in some of the grocery stores. I know my local Walmart sometimes even has grass fed and grass finished ground beef, which is great. So grass fed obviously means they're feeding on the grass, but grass finished is important too, because what that means is once the animals are removed from the pasture in order to be processed, while they're in that holding pattern, because they're not outside on the grass, they're being fed grains most of the time. And the grains are highly toxic, processed, inflammatory, loaded with pesticides and chemicals. Mm-hmm. So their last period of life, they're feeding on that toxic grain, then you're going to be feeding on it from their meat as well. Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to look for grass finished as well. That's always better. Yeah.
Great information.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like
it. Super. Yeah. super information. Because again, when you go back to, you know, when you first arrived at the weight loss center and you realized that once these folks started losing the weight and started eating more healthy and started learning those six pillars, you know, getting better sleep and getting some exercise and eating better, and the weight started coming down, that a lot of their medical issues were going away.
Right.
And so, you know, it's everything, you know, you have to go back to the beginning. It's everything that you're eating.
That's right.
You know, it's so important. What breaks your heart about the industry at large? When you look at just the medical industry, what is it that kind of breaks your heart?
Again, that we're just not doing the best that we can for patients, you know, and all of us as medical practitioners, we go into this field because we truly want to help people heal and make a difference in their lives and make them better. But the way the system is set up, it's not a conducive environment for that. Our clinicians have more burnout than ever before. The suicide rates are very high. There's a very, you know, significant job dissatisfaction. Then you add the pandemic stress for clinicians mm-hmm. on top of that. It made it even worse because we don't feel like we're really making a difference. You know, it's just like it's such a fast factory, paced system that we don't feel like we don't have time to spend with people to get to know them. Like, I don't know. I grew up watching those stories, like of the country doctors and stuff. And like everybody, he knew all the family members and he had this long-term relationship and you knew them really well. And yeah, there's a little bit of that in primary care, but it's so fast. You know, you're just mm-hmm. like, bam, 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 bam. You're like in and out, in and out. And then you have like all this volume of charting that has to be completed on every single patient. And it's just overwhelming and exhausting. And then we get sick.
Yeah.
You know, from doing that. So, and that's why, you know, there's so many healthcare practitioners who are burnt out and, you know, try and find ways to, you know, leave the system, but still help people.
Yeah. And right now there is a demand, you know, it's all about supply and demand. There is a demand. And so we're seeing an influx of travel nurses travel medical in general. Where, you know, hospitals are paying these stipends to get,
right.
you know, healthcare workers to come in yeah. at all different levels that, you know, where they're missing in their staff, just to try to, you know, to keep everything going, to keep yeah. all of, you know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And like you, if you could just go back to the beginning and if folks would just work at getting more healthy on the front end, they wouldn't have all of these issues, you know, down the road. And it just shocks me that we're as healthy as we are.
Yeah, you have to truly be intentional. You have to really, really advocate for yourself, study about your own conditions, really do, you know, I don't have any problem with hitting Dr. Google, because sometimes, you know, people find out a lot of information that their doctors never told them. I mean, I see patients all the time that are coming for help with weight loss and improving their they didn't even know they had diabetes, or they had pre-diabetes on their medical records that I'm reviewing for the past 3 years, and the doctor never even really talked about it to them. It's like, and you know, pre-diabetes obviously is going to lead into diabetes, mm-hmm. but their, you know, insulin resistance is actually the cause of diabetes, and insulin resistance can be detected a good decade or more before pre-diabetes ever shows up on your blood tests. But you know what? You have to check your insulin level. But most people don't do that, because sometimes the doctor's office says, well, the insurance company's not going to pay for it. so what? You know, for some people that is a big deal, but for one single blood test that can start you on a trajectory to change your life and your future, you know, possible medical conditions, that can really turn things around by knowing that. And it's starting, because in our system now, we wait until people get full-blown diabetes and put them on drugs, multiple different drugs, then send them to a dietitian. When we could have prevented it from the first place, if you sent them to a dietitian 10 years ago, you know, so that makes me really, really mad.
Yes. I can see that. I can see that. So now you are working with folks that have that insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do they know? How do you meet up or match up with these folks? How do they find you? How do you find them to where they're even made aware? Because again, I venture to say most of them aren't even aware.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm here, you know, on platforms like this, trying to get the word out, because I want to empower people to know that they don't have to live with this. So, you know, I teach free webinars. I have one coming up. November is actually Diabetes Awareness Month. And November 14th is World Diabetes Day. So I'm teaching a free webinar that could help people get started knowing what to do and deeper dive in what we're even talking about now tonight. They can join my free webinar on the 14th of November. So they can learn more about that. I speak in the community, anybody who's looking for local speakers, wellness centers, diabetes groups, anywhere people want to learn about it. Because that's really my mission and my passion now is really to transform, the health of a million people, because it is completely and preventable and reversible condition that people do not have to suffer with. So,
wow. Now, do you have your link handy for folks that want to register for the webinar?
Yes. Well, actually,
or is it on your website?
Yeah. If you just go to my website and click on the, you know, contact me page, you'll see a link to email me there. Email the word webinar. And I'll put you on my list, but yeah, everything that I have, is on my website, all my social media links. I have a free download on there that I love to share with anybody interested. It's called My 3 Quick Wins to Improve Your Diabetes Today. You can get that free and you can book a free call with me to learn more about, you know, what I have to offer and how I can be of service to you. Everything is, RitaBrewer.com. That's it.
I put the website in the chat, and when I record the replay, I will also put it in the description of our call tonight. Awesome. And I'll make sure that I put your website there. And again, go to her contact us page and put in your name, your email, and in the message blank, put in the word webinar, and she will get the information out to you so that you can join her webinar on November 14th. Now, am I assuming this is going to be virtual on a Zoom call by chance?
Yes, it will be. Yeah.
And what time of day on the 14th?
It's going to be 7 p.m. November 14th.
Okay. And that's 7 p.m. Eastern time?
Eastern time. Sorry. Yeah.
All right. So 7 p.m. Eastern time. Save the date. Put it on your calendar. Go to RitaBrewer.com, contact us page, send her the word webinar so you get the link. So I think it's going to be very important. I think there's going to be huge information there for you. And so, why is your message so important? And what is that overarching problem that you want to solve? Just in your, I'll call it, it's actually like your ministry. So what is that overarching problem, and why is your message so important?
It's so important is because so many people are suffering with this and they don't have to be. You know, there's certain conditions where we just kind of have no control over. We just do our best to live with it and hope for longevity. But this is a condition that is actually reversible and preventable in majority of the cases. So, and I'm talking specifically about type 2 diabetes, not type 1, because those are people who require insulin for life because they can't make any on their own. That's not the main population I'm talking about. And we'll talk more about this in my webinar. But 90% of people who have diabetes are type 2 diabetes, which is the lifestyle related condition. So when, like I said, 37 million people in just the United States alone have it, and then all of the other global countries that have it as well, it is truly a pandemic. It is bankrupting healthcare systems around the world because the cost is so high to our healthcare system, and it doesn't have to be. People don't have to suffer. But again, you know, it's a very pharmaceutical-driven medical system. So the big pharma doesn't want you to get better because they want you to take their drugs for life. They, you know, when you get a diabetes diagnosis, you automatically get put on a cholesterol mm-hmm. medication too. So their goal is to not give you temporary drugs. They want to keep you on the drugs for life because that's how they make the most money. They're not in the healing industry. They're in the making money industry. So that is really a sad thing, and it doesn't have to be. So I'm always been an advocate for my patients. I always will be. And I want the best for them. And I don't want people to suffer. And when, like I said, if you think about how many diabetes is the number one cause of heart disease, strokes, like kidney failure, amputees, like how many millions of people is that? You know, it's just like a massive snowball of everything that it affects. And it doesn't have to be that way. And more people, you know, are need to advocate, you know, for our patients in this way, I believe. And many people are. And just teaching, you know, out there, just getting out in the social media and getting on YouTube and talking about things. And because there's not enough of it for patients in our conventional model. So that's why I feel it's so important.
Well, I believe it's incredibly important, but I do have a question when it comes to what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And let's talk about this. So let's say, I'm guessing there's going to be, because of the topic, maybe a lot of gals that are going to tap into the replays and listen to this conversation that we're having. And so what comes first? Is the gal overweight and then she becomes insulin resistive, or does she become insulin resistive and then that causes her to become overweight? What comes first? Is there a definite answer in your mind on which one comes first?
Yes, for sure. It's the insulin resistance comes first. And most people don't know that they have it. Even people who are pre-diabetic had no idea that they might have been insulin resistant, you know, 15 years ago, because it's not something that's commonly checked. But yeah, so the insulin resistance happens because we have way too much processed sugar in our standard American diet, right? So we eat all this processed sugar, fast food, junk food, you know, processed grains. And what happens is they're all carbohydrates. All carbohydrates break down into sugar. That's their basic building block. So when sugar comes into the body, insulin is the hormone that's secreted from the pancreas gland in your belly. And that insulin senses the sugar. So it's like, okay, let's go to work. It takes the sugar, it moves it into our cells so we can use it for fuel as an energy source. But the problem is, because we're so overloaded with too much sugar, our insulin cannot process the volume. So it's like a lock and key mechanism. Like it opens the receptors to allow the sugar to come in. But when those receptors are constantly being bombarded and clogged, there's nowhere for them to go. So this excess sugar is just now floating around in the bloodstream. So the insulin levels are constantly spiking, and insulin is actually a fat storage hormone. So when insulin spikes, our body stores more body fat. So that's how the insulin resistance starts. There's too much sugar. Insulin is constantly being secreted. It gets overworked, on overdrive, can't process at all. And then it stores the excess sugar as fat. So the insulin resistance comes first, and then it leads to the obesity. So that's why when you have a healthy lifestyle where you can reduce the obesity, then the sugar gets better and the insulin gets better.
So again, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Again, we'll have another conversation. So when you're trying to reduce the obesity, my guess is you have to do it in a healthy way, which means now you're simply making better choices on what it is that you're eating. And the better choices is what makes your weight come down, because you could starve yourself and lose weight, but that doesn't mean you're making better choices or being more healthy.
Yeah.
And so it's the better choices is where the coaching comes in, is helping folks make better choices, understanding why they're making those better choices, making it clear in their minds, in the patient's mind, why they have to do this long term. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to say for all of you gals out there that have struggled with weight loss and it's up and down, and every fad diet you get some success and then it goes right back up. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to lose weight. But if you can understand why you need to make these healthy choices and how it is affecting your body, it's a little easier, you know, to have that dedication to get the job done, to be more healthy. Is there some things that can help with that insulin resistance for gals that have just tried everything?
Yeah, get on a call with me, because, you know, it's so different for everybody. And it's not just the food. The food is a huge part. Absolutely. And I just want to say to people too, that I don't ever talk about the word dieting, because it sounds very restrictive and it sounds you're living in deprivation mode, and nobody thrives well with that. So you don't have to diet or count calories when you're eating the right food for your metabolism. So I love teaching people things like that, or when they tell me about there's a certain food that they just absolutely can't do without, or actually, soda is a good example. So I've got a client who loves drinking lots of soda. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And she cannot wrap her mind around getting rid of this soda addiction. But when I told her, you know what, try this one. And it's like a diet soda called Zevia that's naturally sweetened with stevia. It doesn't have, high fructose corn syrup in it. And let's see if you like it. You know, they have all different flavors. And she was like, oh my gosh. And people can lose so much weight just by doing that, just getting rid of the sugar sweetened beverages. So I love when I get to teach people about the healthy swaps, so they can still really enjoy life and enjoy going out to eat at restaurants, but just knowing what foods are going to be the best choices for them. But the nutrition, is only one part when it comes to the weight loss too. But obviously, physical activity, they all have to be customized for each individual, because we're so bio-individual. I mean, we have different lifestyles and stressors and family things. And, so I love to customize things for each individual person. But I've had patients who did amazing, with his nutrition part and physical activity, and he lost all the weight that he wanted to lose. He was at his ideal body weight, but he still couldn't get his blood sugar, the A1C, the long-acting blood sugar. He couldn't get it down out of the pre-diabetes range because his stress level was so high on his job. Wow. So stress has to be addressed. Good quality sleep has to be addressed. All the toxins, we've talked about this before, the hair care, skin care, the environment, we're just surrounded with pesticides being sprayed on our food. It's horrible. But that really affects our immune system. And chemicals are called obesogens, because they actually mimic our body's hormonal system and confuse the body. And it ends up causing obesity just from toxic chemicals. So I love talking about that with my clients too, and helping them find the healthy swaps and what can we change up for your face care or your skin care or your cleaning products in your home? And, what are the toxins that, we need to work on eliminating? And I have all of my favorite clean products on my website too. If you want to check that out on the shopping tab, there's beauty products, kitchen supplies, food and supplements. Those links about the farmers are in there too. So if anybody wants to check those out, soaps, makeups, all that kind of stuff. So we can eliminate that stuff as much as possible. So all those factors come into play. So every person is really different, has different things that are you need to have the biggest focus to really start to get them that rapid relief that they need. There's so much to teach. I love it.
But how important is all of this? I mean, oh my goodness, we're talking our health here. We're talking our very life here. I mean, like you at age 20, you walk in and you see somebody, my guess is at age 20, they look like they were older to you, but now that I'm older, they don't look older.
Right.
These are probably 60-year-olds
Yes.
That had these issues that they could have prevented had they known how.
Right, exactly.
So the message is so important. Yeah. Just so important. How has faith helped you in your journey, Rita?
Oh, gosh, everything. I didn't really get to know God is in a close way that I have now. I started really learning and reading the Bible when I was 45 years old. So I mean, I kind of grew up in the Catholic Church where I didn't feel like I really knew Jesus. I knew a few stories, but that was about it. But the more I've delved into my own faith journey over the last 11 years, it's helped me tremendously, you know, and especially as women, as healthcare providers, menopausal, we have so many stressors. And, you know, just to be able to give up my worry and stress over to God and let him handle it and trust him that he, he knows the plans that he has for me, and that's to prosper and to be in good health. And he wants us to prosper in health. In the book of John, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that they may prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers." And I love that scripture. I have it on my website too. This is what God wants for us. So with the more I read his word, and the more I trust that he knows what he has for me, and that I can trust and I can rest in him. That's always a big one for me, because I'm always a caretaker, always do for everybody. And then you burn out, and then you have to figure out the boundaries of how to get out of it, you know, and how to take better care of yourself. And I think it's something I'm still working on as, you know, as I enter different phases of my life, you know. But yeah, I don't know where I'd be without it. I'm so glad I have it.
Your story is amazing. We're coming up on 7 o'clock, and I know you've got lots to do and lots going on in your world. So I want to move on briefly and ask, what is it that you're currently working on? Share with the listeners what you were sharing with me when we first came on board, and how are you going to integrate that into what it is that you're doing in your coaching practice?
Oh, all right. Well, I've kind of really niched down on this diabetic clientele, and that's been a more recent transition. So I've been really working on how to reach people in this arena, because I'm so passionate about it. So like I said, I'm going to be doing these free webinars. I'm always looking for opportunities to be on, you know, TV and radio. Podcast. I do have a radio clip I do for Forge Radio, a little 2-minute health clip during their commercial break. Just spreading the word, talking to people, just sharing, networking, speaking to anybody who wants to hear about it, really. I mean, I've spoken at local Chamber of Commerce meetings. I'm going to be doing another local event in my community in November, also about talking about diabetes. And yeah, just want to share that message that people don't have to suffer with this. It is preventable. It is reversible. This is my mission and passion. And I just want as many people to know that as much as possible. And, you know, people who reach out to me, I find that there's like 3 main things that people are really frustrated with. And that is, they don't want to have to take pharmaceutical drugs for the rest of their life. The struggle with the weight loss, because they know that if they lose the weight, their diabetes will get better, and they want to decrease their pain, get their confidence back, their energy back once that weight comes down. And then a lot of people just say, you know, I just want to be healthy for my family. I don't want to get all these chronic conditions. I want to be enjoy life and be able to enjoy my family. So that's really how I kind of designed my program, to make sure that I include all of those things for individuals. And Kathy, as a passive income coach, you're the money coach. I know you would appreciate some of these financial statistics that I got from the website. And it said, the average person, if they're diagnosed with diabetes at age 40, is going to spend over $126,600 over the course of their lifetime just taking care of their diabetes alone. That's their out-of-pocket costs. That's not what their insurance is going to have to pay for.
And that doesn't count all of the other complications that are going to come their way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It, you know, from co-pays and medications and doctor visits and all the, it's just, it doesn't have to be that way. So.
Oh, I can see why this message is so important. It is, it's such a big problem in our society. You know, anywhere you go, you know, to any fair or festival or any shopping mall, and you just see how many folks are struggling to just get around because of their weight. And remember, for those of you that are listening in, the insulin resistance comes first and the obesity comes second. So that's why you can't get the weight off. You're struggling and struggling and struggling. And then you throw your hands up and say, I can't do it. You know, I've tried really hard and it's just not possible. And then you go to your primary care doctor and he says, you need to lose a few pounds.
Yeah.
That's all you get. You just need to lose a few pounds, and you really don't get a good system on how or why and why can't you lose a few pounds. So connect with Rita, check the webinar out, go to ritabrewer.com, check out all of the fun stuff. Rita has on her website, her services, shopping. She has media. If you want to listen to some of her other interviews, then go to the contact us page on her website, ritabrewer.com, and put the word in webinar in the comments there and send that off to her. And she'll make sure you get the link to her webinar on November 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And so again, connect. And Rita, thank you so much for being on this evening and telling us more about what you do. I knew you were a wealth of knowledge, and I wanted to bring you front and center and let all of our listeners know just how important your message is. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kathy. You're such a gem. I love meeting up with you every month, and I look forward to our next one too. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. And for those of you that are listening in, if you want to listen in live, don't forget to go to your calendar and save the date. It is the fourth Monday of every month at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And we are live. You can go to Fit as a Fiddle Plus on Facebook and find the link. You can go to Meetup and find the link and save the date. Again, it's the fourth Monday of every month at 6 p.m. Next month, we have Jessica Myers. And in December, we have Sanel Bach again. If you were on and heard Sanel, you know that she is a powerhouse and she's going to be back with us in December. And then we're going to start our January series. So tap in, put us on your calendar. We love you. Stopping in and listening to our interviews live, but the replays will be at kathybinner.com. I'll put that in the chat real quick here. So if you want to go back to any of the replays, you can find those at kathybinner.com. Just scroll down to Fit as a Fiddle Plus and click through on the free meetup and you'll find all of our replays there. So until next time, we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye, everyone.